We're then going to do the notices, and then we're going to have communion, and then we're going to come back to worship. And in the midst of worship, towards the end of the service, we're going to have space to pray for one another too. So we start a new theme in August. Our theme is being a good neighbour. Anybody a neighbour? Hands up if you're a neighbour. Some hands not going up. Okay, thank you. But we default by our setting when even I ask that question, am I a neighbour, to where do I live and who lives on either side of me? It's our default setting. What I want to encourage you to think this. I want to encourage you to think this because your neighbour is though somebody who's in proximity to you at any point in time. You have a neighbour right now, most of you do, because someone's sitting next to you in a chair next to you. Neighbour, go on, just touch them on the shoulder or the hand. Yeah, they are real people. So let me pray. Father God, as we gather your word today, Father, I pray that you'd speak to us. Father, I just want to bring your heartbeat of the throne room of heaven today. And so, Father, help us to grasp so we can do something with it. You can change us and equip us for, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want to say to you is this. In Matthew, it talks about us being salt and light. And then say, who would put a lamp under a bowl? You know, if you've got light, if you build a city, build it on top of a hill so people can see it. That's what Jesus said. It's the stories he told us about. So as Christians, we're not meant to be hidden. Doesn't mean we have to be out there and rah, but we're not meant to be hidden. And I want to ask you some questions this morning that I hope will provoke you to think. Number one is, are you seen by your neighbours? I'm not even asking, have you spoken to them? I'm just saying, do they see you from time to time? Julie and I, when we first met at university, we lived in an accommodation block, and on the ground floor was a guy who we never saw. The only evidence we knew there was somebody living in there was pizza was delivered to his door. Never saw him go, never saw him come. Yeah, I would honestly say I was not a neighbour to him. I didn't know him, he didn't know me. I wonder about our neighbours, where we live, where we work. Do they know us? At least to nod and smile at. Because that's the starting point. You know, one of the things that some of church did, Joy Junction yesterday, out on the high street, just being there. And the first thing is we're visible. We're saying, we're here. We had a whole bunch of people said, oh, I didn't know there was a church over near the station. Well, they wouldn't do, because then, number one, does this building look like a church? No, so it's not got a cross on top. It's not got a steeple. So people would say, oh, I don't know whether they're looking for a historic building. Church, this is a historic building. Because God does things here on a weekly basis. It makes it historic. It doesn't have to have old bricks. It doesn't have to have beautiful artwork, although it does have some good artwork on the walls. It's a place where things happen. It's a place where people create memories. It's a place where people create testimonies. It's where God does work in you and me and through us. And so we were out on the high street yesterday. And one of the things somebody said to me as we were out there, and there was a whole bunch of us, said, so Dave, what do we do? Interesting question. I didn't want to give them a formula. I just talk to people. And I'm using that example because actually we were being good neighbours yesterday. Because we were out there to people saying, can we help? Exactly the same way I encourage you to your neighbour. Now, one of the reasons why we sometimes don't offer help to people is because we can look at them, we might know something about them, and we think, oh, well, that's a big challenge. I can't help there. But you know what? We can help because we can pray. So even if somebody, maybe you've seen a headline, somebody needs £100,000 to get out of their debt situation. And you're walking up to this person, you know exactly who they are. Maybe it's been in the news. Maybe the company's going bust. You don't want to ask, hi, how are you? Because you know what they're going to say. And you don't want to ask, can I help? Because you know what they're going to say. Do you know what? The one thing I can do, I may not have £100,000 in my back pocket, but I can pray. And things can change. And so, first thing, neighbours need to be visible. They need to be seen. A good neighbour needs to be seen. And young people, children, Sunday school, you're staying in today. there is a real purpose to today's word. So you notice it's called a good neighbor, sweet exchange. Sweet exchange of ideas, sweet exchange of concepts. So what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 to 40? But then the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees as they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws of the prophets." Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, some of us actually aren't very good at loving ourselves. We don't look after ourselves health-wise. Maybe we don't look after ourselves from a mental perspective. So sometimes I want to say, I want the best for myself and I want the best for my neighbours too. So please do extrapolate this on the best that God has for us. Love your neighbour as yourself. I had the privilege of many, many years ago. Often I'd find myself walking through the bush. And when I say the bush, I mean the bush. For anybody who's been into the jungle, I mean, sometimes the paths just disappeared. I got lost many times. But on a number of occasions, I'm walking from one village to the next. Because I was the white man, I always attracted people. There were people who'd never seen white men before. And so they'd always come, they'd start talking. Often when I walked from one village to another, I'd have a group of people by the time I came to the next village. And in many times, they would say, "Come and have something to eat with us." Now, I want to share this because sometimes I think it's quite challenging, especially in our British culture. And that's this. They didn't say, "Come, we've got a feast already organised." They were just, "We're about to eat." And they weren't necessarily putting it. So one of the things in Papua New Guinea was they love root vegetables. And you didn't have knives and forks, you picked them all up with your hand. Potatoes, yams, manioc, all that stuff was cooked in hand-sized chunks. So for lunch, there would have been a lot of vegetables chopped up, put into a saucepan and cooked. And so it's going to be ready at lunchtime. And then, so I'd walk into a village, I'd sit down in the house without walls, and we'd sit down and we'd eat. And they hadn't cooked anything extra, because you couldn't add anything extra quickly. This took time. I just said, "Come and eat with us." And so I did. I sat down. Do you know what? I was really humbled. It took me a few weeks to find this out. A number of places I sat down and we were sitting there and eating. And maybe the children and some of the women were in a different house. What I hadn't realized was they were putting the food out to bless me. And if I ate all the food, they had nothing. That truly, truly humbled me. It made me very wise in, okay, thank you very much, I've had enough. You know, because otherwise, I was eating their lunch. But do you know what? They were just trying to be good neighbours. They were just trying to share what they had in a simple way. And I want to poke and provoke some of us because sometimes we'll say something like this. Something like this will happen in your world. You're having a conversation with someone, the conversation's somewhere, and you think, "Oh, why didn't you come around for coffee?" And then in the back of your head, you think, "I know what the state of my house is right now. So let me get the diary out." And you get the diary out and you say, "How about 3 weeks on Wednesday?" And all because your house hasn't been dusted. Church, I want to say a couple of things that I hope you'll remember. People are more important than polish. People are more important than polish. Just because you can run your finger down the front of your TV or top of something and you can leave a mark in the dust, I'd say people are more important than polish. And second thing is, if you're having a good conversation, finish it. There have been times when it's been inconvenient. I think I've shared this story before. I walked out my front door one day on the way to the train station. I'd given myself extra time. I was catching the earlier train just in case it was late. As I walked on my drive, I bumped into a lady that I hadn't seen for a while, and we were walking down the road towards Wigan, passing away, and we came to the end of Grange Road, in a different direction, and I was heading towards this, and I said, thanks very much, bye. Do you know what? I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me and go, Dave, you could have finished that conversation. You had time. You could have caught the later train. Wouldn't have made any difference at all. Do you know what? I said, Lord, you're right. Sorry for rushing that off. Sorry for doing these things. Neighbours talk. Do you know the name of your neighbours? I don't mean their name because their post has been put through your front door accidentally, giving it to them, so they don't know. Do you know Bob or Harry or Sally or Freddie or whatever? And do they know your name? Because I think it's important that we start to share the love of Christ in as many ways as we can. So let's be visible. Let's talk. But then what do we talk about? So I'm just going to give you an illustration from yesterday, just as an example. And it's this. Somebody in the group said, Dave, what are we doing here and how do we do it? I saw a gentleman walking along the street pushing a buggy. Rob, I told you this story already, so I can hear it a second time. But I was pushing a buggy. Gentleman from, I would guess, of African origin. That's what my guess. And so I said to him, hi, how are you today? That was the first thing. I broke into his world. You know, we don't say hello enough, do we? Heads down. If you ever caught a train into London, everybody's got their earphones in. Nobody talks. And actually, if somebody is talking, everybody looks at them funny saying, what are you doing talking on the train? Yeah, and we now have quiet carriages. Quiet carriages where you're not meant to be on the phone and those kind of things. So, one of those things that I just want to share, my faith. And so, I just identified him. Okay. I said, hi, how are you? I broke into his world. He looked at me and said, I'm fine so much. How are you? And I said, I'm pretty good, thank you. You're in charge of the little one today, are you? That's all I could observe. You're in charge. He said, yeah, it's quite a responsibility. I said, yes, you're right. It is quite a responsibility looking after children. He said, so what are you doing here? Okay, now he's asked a question. Now I said, well, just a church on High Street, just sharing love and life. That's all I said. And then he looked at the stand and he looked at some of the Abba Father's house and there was a shirt hanging on a hanger, a Ugandan shirt. He said, that's your country. So I didn't make the connection. He made the connection. He said, that's my country. I said, oh, you're from Uganda now. You said, no, I'm from Ghana. I've got someone in the church who's from Ghana. He went, oh, okay. He said, but it looks like my country. They're very similar. We just got into a conversation. He went, other, and he was asking me questions. You know, all I think we need to do is, number one, be visible. Second thing, start a conversation and then just lead as far as you go. You don't have to have shared the gospel and seven lessons on how to become a Christian in the first conversation that you have. The main thing you want to achieve in being a good neighbor, being a good witness, is to be able to have another conversation next time. If the kind of conversation you have is so pokey and provocative that people want to avoid you, then when they come out of the house, they're kind of looking, is he here? Okay, let me go. If you ever watch the Keeping Up Appearances, Hyacinth Bouquet, their neighbour used out the door and checked that she wasn't there so they could get out of their house without having a conversation. We don't want to be the neighbours, do we? We don't want to be the kind of neighbours. We need to be able to speak up for others. And in Proverbs, there are great things to encourage us. Speak up for those who cannot and speak for themselves. And then also in Proverbs chapter 31, it says this, speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. There are times when we need to press into doing different things. We need to press into it with great confidence. Okay, so who is your neighbour? Well, Jesus has asked this question, and I'm not going to answer it today. I'm going to leave that for one later on in the month. But who is our neighbour? Well, two neighbours having a conversation over a fence. But today is an opportunity. I want to empower you and give you something. So, not chocolates, Werther's Originals. I'm going to give you a sweet. Hope, would you come and give everybody a sweet? Please do not eat it. I'm going to give you a Werther's original. There is some wisdom in this. I'm giving you something that won't melt because we're in the summer. If I gave you a chocolate and you put it in your pocket, by the time you got home, it would be melted. Please do take one, even if you don't like a Werther's original. I will come to this in a moment. But who is my neighbour? But you know, I'm giving you a gift because, like yesterday, like today, like tomorrow, I want to give you a reason to have a conversation. And this applies whether you are 6, 8, 18, 60 or 80, or any age in between. This activity is for all of us. And it leads into next week. Next week we have an all-age feast picnic. We're going to be outside, so please do invite your friends. So, I'm giving you a sweet. And you're thinking, thank you, Dave. Thank you so much for giving me a sweet. Okay? If you want to eat it, that's fine. But I'm going to ask you to share your sweet with a neighbour. I don't mean break it in half and give half of yourself. I mean give it away. Thank you, Hope. Have you got one? Good, well done. So everybody's got a sweet. So I'm going to ask you to give it away. Okay, but you might think, oh, Dave, I like these sweets. Some of you may not like them. You think, I'm really happy to give this away. I don't like Werther's. But some of you are thinking, I like these candies. I want to eat it. Okay, but here's the bonus. If you give it to a neighbour, and I'm not necessarily talking about the people you live next to, or it might be the people you work with, if you give it away and take a picture of giving it to your neighbour and bring it next week, I will give you two sweets next week. Now, for the bright people amongst you, this runs for the whole of August. This runs for the whole, so you don't have to bring a photo next week. Maybe take time to give away your sweet. But for those economists amongst you, you're thinking, okay, I've got a sweet. If I give it away, I get two next week. Then next week, you can give one away, take another photo, and you've got one for yourself and one for your neighbour. I believe in God's economy. God's a God of generosity. So all I'm asking you is to make yourself visible to a neighbour, start a conversation, and find a place. I don't want you to run up to a complete stranger and go, I've got a sweet for you. Because they're immediately going to think, okay, is it poisonous? Why are you giving me a sweet? So you've got to get the conversation to where it's logical to give a sweet. Now, let me give you a couple of tips. Number one, if you want an excuse as to why you're giving a sweet away, you can blame me. You said, church on Sunday, the church gave us a sweet to give us away. I thought of you and I'm here to give it to you. Very simple. And what are we saying there? I thought of you. Okay? And we give it away. Now, if no further conversation happens, okay. But if they then say, well, why would church give out sweets? Because we want to raise the level of dental care in the country? No. But why am I doing this? I believe my task as a church is to equip you to look at the ministry. And this is really simple, basic stuff, but I'm giving you something. If all you do is bless someone, giving them a sweet, fine. Now, Remek said sweet exchange. There is a possibility that you give this to your neighbour and they go, thank you very much, but I don't like this. Oh, well, if you want to exchange your sweet, come to church next week and we'll change this for sweet that you do like. I'm putting some stuff in your hands just to start to be a good neighbour. So if they don't like it, please encourage them. You can come into the family feast. We can go for the picnic together. Or you could, if you want, just choose to eat the sweet. It's up to you. But I know there are stories in the Gospels where Jesus talked about talents of 1, 5, and 10. And I'm not offering you 10 sweets. That probably would create a dental problem, wouldn't it? But I do want to get to a place where we press into God and we start to be good neighbours. So you are going away with a little bit of homework that says, who is my neighbour? Does anybody know how Jesus answered that question? What story did Jesus tell to answer this question? Yes, absolutely, Jill. He answered it by telling the story of the Good Samaritan. And we'll probably unpack that later on in the month, but I'm not asking you to walk down the street looking for someone who's been beaten up. And you know. just your neighbor. Now, here's the thing. Why do we not do this? Why do we not get to know our neighbors? Thank you, Roy. Yeah, because we're scared or we're afraid. Or maybe they've annoyed us. Maybe they played loud music last night. Those neighbors. If you ever lived next door to students, you'll know about some of the things that I'm talking about now. But sometimes, you know, they do things that are not normal for you. They put the rubbish out at wrong times. They slam car doors. They play music you don't like. In our small group on Tuesday, we talked about praying for those, our enemies. Now, I'm not saying our neighbours are our enemies. Sometimes it feels like when they're doing this and you're doing this. And one of the number one disputes in the UK is neighbours. People arguing about fences, about plants, about noise, about rubbish. Now, one of the simple ways to minimise the risk of falling out with your neighbour is to get to know them. And I'd encourage you, get to know your neighbours before you have the problem. I've learnt now that whenever students move in next door to us, because next door to us is a student house, it's good to go around and say hi to them, just introduce yourself, maybe even exchange telephone numbers, just so that you've broken the ice. So that when one of your parcels gets delivered to next door, you know who they are. You think, okay, I can go knock on the door and collect the parcel. Yes, who is my neighbour? Our neighbour is not our friends, but do we know them and how well do we know them? I put a task in your hand, and I'm going to keep it really simple today. In Luke 29, verse 10. Sorry, chapter 10, verse 29. Thank you, Jonathan. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And we know how Jesus answered that. I'm going to ask you to find out who your neighbor is this week by giving away a sweep. I don't know how many more people we'll have here on Sunday next week. Some may come. There were conversations that happened yesterday with complete strangers. There were nails that were painted. Was there nail? Bracelets were certainly made. Were there any nails painted in the end? No, okay. But there was chocolate given away. And there was even some Abba Father's house craft sold. So lots of things happened. But somebody might say, well, how many Abba Father's house crafts did we sell? I would say that was not the point. The point was just something visual that just kind of catches people's attention. You know, we had people who genuinely just stopped to look at the stuff and you start a conversation. And complete strangers gave us some money. Can't be bad for our Father's house. So, I don't know whether you feel like a good neighbour. But I'm going to pray right now. God would help us to be good neighbours. So let's close our eyes as I pray. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us in our conversations. Father, I pray that you'd open doors where doors have not been opened. Father, maybe we've missed our neighbours or our neighbours are new and we haven't got to know them yet. Father, I pray that you'd open the door opportunity. Father, we'd step through the first phrase, hi, how are you? Something else. Father, I pray that out of the fruit of that conversation, there will be people who come to know you a little better, who are drawn into your kingdom, who are a little closer to the God who loved them, who sent his son and only son, Jesus, to die for them. And so, Father God, I pray you'd help us. You'd fill us with confidence. Fill us with a little boldness that we'd start that conversation. And then see what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. Pretty simple this morning. So I'm going to move on and do a few prayers.